Hi, and welcome to the HTA podcast. St. Anne's Church in Toronto was an utterly unique building. It was a beautiful, uplifting space. It was decorated with paintings and sculptures by some of the greatest Canadian artists of the 20th century, artists like J.E.H. MacDonald, Fred Varley, Frank Carmichael, Francis Loring, and Florence Weil. It was the only group project that any members of the famed Group of Seven painters ever worked on. It was a National Historic Site and a national treasure. We still don't know what caused the fire that started in the early morning of June 9th, 2024. By that afternoon, only the building's brick shell still stood. The paintings, the sculptures, the mosaics, the pews, the lecterns were all gone. But one thing remained. We can't see St. Anne's anymore, but we can still hear it. In the fall of 2021, in the depth of the COVID-19 lockdown, violinist and composer Anne Lindsay decided to record an album of solo violin music inside St. Anne's. She called the album Solo Works 2, and we're listening to some of it right now. By the time it was released in March of 2025, St. Anne's was gone. This album is more than just a memory of St. Anne's. It's our last chance to experience the place directly through our senses. We think of architecture as something to look at, and it is, but that's not all it is. We also hear architecture. We hear space. And our ears help us to understand it and relate to it. We sense whether it's big or small, open or closed, hard or soft, gentle or harsh. The sound of a space can comfort us or excite us or make us curious or put us on edge. It can welcome and hold us or it can push us away. A building has a voice, and that voice reveals its personality. We can still hear the voice of St. Anne's Church in Solo Works 2. Anne Lindsay is one of the most versatile and in-demand instrumentalists in the country. On top of her solo career, she has recorded with bands ranging from Led Zeppelin to the Chieftains. She's a featured performer with the Jim Cuddy Band, and back in the day, she played in a band with my good friend, the late Oliver Schroer, which is how I first met her decades ago. When she went into St. Anne's Church to make Solo Works 2, she had no idea that the recording would become a precious relic of a lost, lamented place. I got together with her in Toronto to talk about the album, what it was like to play in St. Anne's, and what it means to her now that the building is gone. The first thing I want to ask you about is take you right to the beginning of this project, Solo Works 2, and what was going on? Where were you at in your head, in your music, that made you want to record a solo album?
Well, we're going back 5 years ago to the beginning of the global pandemic. And I found myself here in my home, isolated and alone with my violin, thank goodness, my best friend, and started thinking about the music that I was composing. I was composing a bunch of different things at that time. I had written a few songs for my grandkids that I could send to them to listen to when I couldn't be with them in person. And then it was Easter weekend, and I woke up in the morning. I was quite sad because I was thinking, well, there's not going to be any Easter egg hunts. People won't be getting together to have a feast. And if they want to go to church, they can't go to church. And I got this slightly crazy idea that I would write an instrumental mass for solo violin. And masses are usually very large affairs, right? Traditionally, they have a choir, they have an organ, sometimes an orchestra, and they have text, Latin text. But I was going to write one just for solo violin. And I just started playing that morning and came up with the first movement, which is called Votum Mane, or Morning Prayer. And that's the first track on SoloWorks 2.
When it came time to record it, how did you end up doing what you did? How did you end up at St. Anne's?
Well, I knew that I wanted a particular type of space that would allow the violin to really sing. And
can you explain what you mean by that?
It doesn't have to be an old space, and it doesn't have to be a church for the violin to sing. Or to feel like it's, I don't know what to say, almost like the sound waves coming out of it are having a little massage from the space that they're in, that they're sending out into. So when I went looking for a space to record SoloWorks 2, I knew that I wanted something that would have that send and that natural reverb in the space. So we went to several different churches. My engineer, Tim Vesley, and I went around to several different churches in Toronto to try them out. And came up with St. Anne's for a number of reasons. One is that it has a very particular shape to it. It has a Byzantine dome, or had a Byzantine dome. Huge, beautiful, big, circular dome. So the quality of the sound was different from any of the other long, tall, narrow churches that I played in, like a long rectangular space. And it just, as soon as I walked in, I think the first thing I did in the space actually was whistle a little bit when I walked in, and I just was amazed. And in fact, on one of the tracks on SoloWorks 2, the second track, you can hear it starts with some whistling. And you can hear the sound of that space just working this magic.
So from what you're saying, it sounds like individual buildings have individual acoustic personalities. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
Very much so. Very much so. I thought of an interesting analogy for this, which is that if you're taking kids to a playground to play, you walk up to one playground, open the gate, they go in, and they'll play in a certain way because the structures are aligned in a certain way. There might be a slide, there might be a merry-go-round, there might be whatever. If you go to another playground and open the gate, they'll go in, they'll play a completely different way. And it's almost like when you walk into a space with your instrument, in my case my violin, and I start to play, the sound waves, I'm letting them loose into this space, and they're interacting with the space in a very unique way, depending on the shape of the space. And at St. Anne's in particular, because there's that huge dome, they were able to just go up there and have so much fun. I like to think, anyway.
So the acoustic qualities of a space don't just affect how your music sounds, it also affects how you play. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I have many times in my life tried to create more room, more reverb around if I'm playing in a very dry space, especially if I'm playing solo, and I'll try to get my violin to work with me to just add a little more warmth to the sound in a dry space. And then in other spaces, you just bow a string and it sends and just goes and flies away and creates this beautiful, beautiful sound. Of course, St. Anne's was even more famous for its visual beauty, for not just the architectural form, but of course the incredible artwork in it. Does that make any difference, or is it once you start playing, your eyes are closed and that beauty ceases to be? No, that was a huge part of the experience recording there, absolutely, for me, and even the first time that I walked into it, because I had never been in St. Anne's before. So when I first walked in and I saw all that artwork, I was just gobsmacked. And to be able to play and look at all those visuals, the mosaics, the beautiful mosaics that were all around the sanctuary, there's a picture of one of them on the CD cover. And then, of course, the murals by the Group of Seven, and a soft spot for me were the sculptures that Francis Loring and Florence Wilde did. They were friends of my parents.
Oh.
The girls, as they were known, the girls.
Wow.
And as a little girl, they would come over for Christmas dinner or Easter dinner to my house, and I was fascinated by them. Miss Loring would smoke a big cigar, and they'd have scotches, and these two women who were such like pioneers in the art world, and they're talk about politics and all these things that for a sheltered little girl growing up in Toronto in the late 50s, early 60s, it was a real eye-opener. And I just used to love it whenever they would come to the house. So then to be playing with their pieces there as well was really special for me.
Now, all of this music you'd composed as solo pieces, and of course, they could be recorded anywhere. You could have gone into a studio and recorded these. In fact, you could have gone into a studio and done whatever you could to duplicate the acoustics of any one of a number of places, spaces in a studio.
But
is that the but is my question. What would have been different about this? Would the album have been different? And why and how would it have been different had you gone into studio rather than going to St. Anne's Church?
So a lot of people like to believe that they can recreate in the studio the same kind of reverb that you could get. You know, in fact, on the machinery for adding reverb to a track in the studio, you have your choice of small hall, big hall, you know, cathedral, you know, these options. But they don't sound the same. They absolutely don't sound the same. And we were also able, recording at St. Anne's, to have mic placement in various different parts of the church so that we could play a little bit with that too. And on some of the slower pieces where there was time to hear that long decay of a note in the space, we could do that and catch that out in the center of the space. Faster pieces where notes might start to tumble over each other a bit more in the larger outer church space, we could zero in a bit more on the mics that were a bit closer to the violin.
Okay, so when we listen to the album, depending on the piece, we're not always standing in the same place in the church, so to speak.
No, you're not. Yeah. And I do really believe, some people would still argue that you can recreate things in the studio to sound just the same. I would say maybe you're not listening quite as closely as you need to, because there is a difference. There really is a difference.
And is there also a difference in the, I don't know, maybe not the style, but the energy or the vibe of the playing?
The execution of the piece, like how I would play it. Oh, absolutely. Because like I said before, it's, you know, you play a note, it's like having a massage. It's like, you know, like it just makes it so easy to speak in the nature of the piece. If you take a piece like Credo, which means I believe, if translated from Latin, the second piece on the CD, which is the second piece in the Mass, the depth and the darkness, those things that I was able to get out of my violin. If I was just standing in a generic studio in front of a microphone trying to render that in the same way, it would not nearly have that same depth. And the other thing we haven't talked about is that a space like St. Anne's, which is a sacred space, has had that human experience of people going there for a wide range of different reasons. Grief, joy, spiritual searches or spiritual celebrations, and all of that is in that space as well. And you're in there now, playing music, and I think it's all resonating through that space and through you.
Of course, we tend to assume that architecture is something we look at. And we look at architecture and we say, oh, that's beautiful, or that's ugly, or whatever. And I think everybody also responds to architecture as an experience that they hear, although not everybody responds to it on a conscious level. Now you do, because you're a musician and you perform in spaces. Now, we can no longer look at St. Anne's, and that's a huge loss, because it was a staggeringly beautiful space. It was just incredible. But that experience is gone. But we can still hear it when we listen to your album. Is that important?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me it is. When I put it on, I just feel like I'm having a bath and all of those things that I remember when I was recording it and when I first visited the space. And all of that. When I started digging back into the pieces in January of this year, preparing for the CD launch, they felt so ready to be launched. And knowing that they were being sent out with so much love and appreciation of the space that I had the honor and the privilege to record them in, and that that was going to be a memory for so many people to share and hopefully to support that community as well. So there was a great deal of love in the whole thing going out, right, out to the world. So the
meaning of the music changed for you?
Yes.
After the fire?
Yes. Yeah. For sure. I feel very fortunate to have created that and to be able to share it with people. And yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on to talk about this.
Thank you so much for doing this. And thank you so much for the music and the album, too. It's just such a wonderful, gorgeous, luminous piece of work. This podcast was produced for Carleton University's History and Theory of Architecture program by me, Peter Kaufman. My guest was Anne Lindsay. The music was from Anne's new album Solo Works 2. It's available on Bandcamp by download or on CD. I think we're done.